it seems, to have a dream to open and run a bakery. But they took a chance, took the sweets to the street. Now they all have places where I'd love to eat.
Hello there, bakeroos and bakerettes. Welcome to the Rise Up Podcast. This is Mark Dick. I'm your host. And this show is about bakers and bakeries. At least that's what it says in the title. But I'm coming to realize that this show is really about joy and the joy that we get out of baking, for one, the joy that we get out of sharing all of our lovely baked goods with our friends and our family and our customers, and the joy that we get sharing stories with other bakers. And I think you take those three things and you roll them all up into a nice sweet ball, and that's what the show is all about. So there you go. The show about joy. That's not a word that I use a lot, joy. I use a lot of positive words, but not that one. But you know what? It came up an awful lot in the last couple of weeks. People sending me emails saying, you know, oh, I just love the joy in what you write, or I just love the joy you share in the show, or you seem happy all the time. I even have a Welsh friend named Sue who called me jolly in an email, which caught me off guard a little bit. I thought, well, that's an awfully nice thing to say. And so maybe for a while I'm going to play with the word joy and say that maybe that's what I'm about and what the show is about. Sharing the love, as we used to say, but in this case, sharing the joy. You know, when I was editing this episode, the very first thing that my guest today said was she got into baking because she got a lot of joy out of it, and she got to share that joy with other people. And so maybe there's something to this. But, oh yeah, the guest today, I should mention that. My guest today, a very special guest, is Karina Gaffney. And I have been friends with Karina for about 3 years now, but always email buddies through the Bread Bakers Guild. And Karina has just opened up her own bakery in Hudson, Ohio. She bought an existing bakery, which is pretty cool. I don't know a lot of people that have done that, to be honest with you. And she bought it back in June and is now the owner of the Great Lakes Baking Company in Hudson, Ohio, and is slowly taking what's there and building a little bit more joy on it. Although from the conversation, you'll notice that there is quite a bit of joy already at the bakery, and she's just getting to add to it as well. So an interesting discussion a little later on the show, because I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe that Karina is the first person that I've had on the show that bought an existing established bakery to get her start in the professional ranks. And so good for her. And we talk about sort of some of the differences that buying a going concern entails. Now, we recorded this conversation at her bakery in Hudson, but it was on a day when the bakery was closed. Part of buying an existing business is that none of the health code or construction code or building code exemptions apply anymore. So they don't get grandfathered in because she's a new owner. And one of the things Karina had to do, because she was the new owner, was put in a new set of sinks at the back for dishwashing, like the big three-bowl sinks. And I think they had gotten along with two-bowl sinks up until then. But now, new owner, she can't get away with that anymore. So the bakery was closed for a day so the plumber could come in and replace the sinks. And so he was making all kinds of banging and crashing and welding noises. And then the John, the former owner of the bakery, was in, and he was just doing a little bit of trim construction work on the front counter. So it didn't even work to sit up front and record the chat while the plumber was banging on in the back. So we decided to sit outside on the patio, because she has this glorious little patio right beside her place. And we'll sit on the patio and we'll do the recording there. And now Karina warned me that, you know, sometimes the train comes by, and so we might have to pause for that. And so I want to go on record here that I was warned about the trains. I don't think any of us could have predicted the industrial lawnmowers across the highway and how much noise they'd generate, or even the cube van that, given a clear path to just drive out of the parking lot, decided that no, he had to back up and use the other entrance exit to get out of the parking lot instead. So I've been editing quite a bit to get this this show listenable, but I think we got it, and I think we got it because when you listen to this chat, I think you can really feel the joy that Karina has for her new business and for her new staff and for the new products that she's bringing to complement her old product line, and just the fun that we had talking with each other for the 50 or 60 minutes that we were able to talk. I'm always very appreciative of folks taking the time to share their story with me so that I can turn around and share it with you. It brings me an awful lot of joy. But I'm going to talk more about that after the chat, because I don't want to steal Karina's thunder by blathering on too much before the chat. So here she is, Karina Gaffney, my friend, I'm proud to say, from the Great Lakes Baking Company in Hudson, Ohio.
No. There's no bakery noise today either, so
it's too bad. But that's part of the game, you know. So, how long have you been open?
June 11th.
Yeah, I thought so. It's been really really quick. So, well, I guess before we get into talking about the place, let's talk a bit about the search and stuff, because this was a long project for you to even to get to this place. So, So what made you want to get started with a bakery?
Well, I've loved baking my whole life. Yeah. And even though I love the law, and I still do, being a lawyer was not quite the creative pursuit that, I mean, not that I anticipated it would be all that creative.
Right.
But,
yeah.
And you can make it creative, but When there's an adage that if you negotiate a settlement and nobody's happy, right, that's a good settlement.
Right. Yes. Everyone has to be a little bit unhappy, right, and then you've hit the average. Right.
Right. That doesn't bring a lot of joy into your clients' lives or into your life.
Sure. Yeah.
And when I saw how much joy people got from things that I would bake for them.
Right.
And tasting really good bread, maybe for the first time, that was like, why wouldn't I want to do that with my life? That is bringing joy to people.
Sure,
that's
exactly.
What higher calling can there be?
Yeah.
So after having been a lawyer for 27 years, I'm like, you know, I would really like to do something that brings joy.
Right.
And the more people who enjoy it, the better. So I knew that it was going to be difficult. I wasn't expecting everything was going to be, you know, simple. And you know, there's always surprises, but I don't think it's a whole lot different than what I expected it to be.
Right.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of debt. It's a lot of, oh my God, I'm going to pay everybody this week. So I think it was just a matter of finding something that I could do and do well enough that I could bring joy and not lose my house.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, that's because going from none of your clients should be completely happy to everyone's happy but me, that's not the trade-off.
Right.
That you want to have.
No, you don't
want to
have
right?
that.
Yeah.
No. Huh?
Yeah. Well, and so how... Or I guess, were you always looking to buy an existing place, or did you consider, I'm just going to start from scratch and open my own?
Oh, yeah, I consider all of those options. And I had looked for many years, as you know, just for a place that was in a good location.
Right.
That had enough space.
Right.
That you know, had the appropriate, you know, three-phase power.
Yeah.
All those things that you have to look for. And kind of like my house search right now, none of those things was happening all in one place.
Right.
So when I, and I had been looking at, you know, buy business sites on, online for a long time. And this one popped up. And when I first saw it, because I was doing it so often and I happened to see it within days of having looked previously and not having found anything, I was like, Summit County Artisan Bakery for sale. Oh, that must be in Colorado because there's a Summit County in Colorado and I've been fooled before. But when I clicked on it, it was like Summit County, Ohio. I'm like, there aren't that many artisan bakeries in Summit County. I bet you I can figure out which one it is. So, and I did. And, I mean, it was a process from there and I still had to, I still was wondering, well, you know, this is not going to be the place that I envisioned. Because of the space limitations. But the trade-off is it's there. It has a good customer base. It has a great reputation. It has employees who already know how to run the place. I don't know anything. I've never worked in food service before other than a six-month stage at another artisan bakery. So that tipped the scale for me. As opposed to, okay, I'm going to try and do my dream straight out the gate and, you know, get into four times more debt and, you know, outfit it the way I want to with all new stuff versus, hey, I may have a chance of actually paying off that debt and not, you know, working until I die.
Well, and so what was your sort of dream place, your ideal that you were trying, that you wanted to build?
My ideal was to have a little cafe along with the bakery. So a breakfast and lunch kind of place.
And it's sort of the space plus the Starbucks is kind of your two constraints there, right?
Like exactly.
How do you fit everything you want to do in there? And then how do you deal with the behemoth at the other end of the building,
So even if the space in between us were to open up and I could expand that way, it'd be kind of weird to have a coffee shop next to a coffee shop.
No, for sure. I can see that, you know, but it, but I guess like depending on your definition of breakfast and lunch products, you could probably kick them pretty good.
It's possible.
Yeah, you know.
We're thankfully we're not even there yet.
No, exactly. Oh yeah, a couple months, but it's sort of, you know, keep the keep that dream simmering. Just a low simmer
just,
kind of
just
thing.
Just in
for
case.
A while. So how long has has this bakery been here?
20 years.
20 years. Okay. And so it's got the following. Is it? Do you think of it as sort of the neighborhood place, or are people coming from further afield here, or?
Well, of course, a lot of people are coming they hadn't been here before because they're friends of mine.
For sure.
Support me. But there have been people that come from, like, we're going to be featured in Cleveland Magazine as a Cleveland area bakery. So that helps. So there will be people who might be coming down this way, or people who actually work in Cleveland who who live closer to Hudson. So that might convince people to come here, but it is more local, I would say. But Hudson's really small. So, I mean, they're coming from around Hudson.
And that's one of the things that I'm getting used to because, you know, where I live, it's the city and there's 200,000 people and then it stops. And then it's, you know, you're driving for an hour to find any, you know, it's 40 miles on the highway to Moose Jaw and, or, and it's farmland in between. There's, whereas here, you know, from Cleveland, Cayuga Falls into Akron, into here, we haven't left city for, or, Medina or Medina on the other side, you know, we haven't left city for a long time. Yet we're coming to all these other places. But what's cool about this is when we realize, well, we're coming, we're getting close to where you are. It just forest and big houses. And, it looks like we've gone back in time to, we're in this sort of colonial township now. And it's really cool. Like, I've been impressed with, I was impressed with Akron last night and that, and all the parkland and stuff around there. But boy, it felt different here, and the sort of the style of the building that you're in, and the brick and the porch that we're sitting on, and all of that. It fits the. It's a lovely little place. Like, mm-hmm. It really looks like a cool place.
Yeah. If you go down Main Street a little ways this way,
yeah.
You'll go past Western Reserve Academy.
Right.
Which looks very much, in my mind, to like Dartmouth.
Oh, okay.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's set up very similarly, and then there's the big green right in the middle,
right.
And then all of the colonial-style buildings all around
it. Cool. Yeah, no, it's glorious. Like, it's really neat. So, you know, I would hope that this porch and these tables are packed all the time, because it's like a great place to sit, you know, aside from the lawnmowers.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Just like when you're recording, like, you buggers.
Yeah, normally it's very nice.
Yeah,
out
not
here,
very peaceful but... town. Come visit for sure, but
good Lord, I don't think I've ever heard just
yeah,
noise
yeah, exactly.
outside.
But so, having the staff, can you talk a bit about sort of okay, coming in here now? You've got an established staff, and you know you're the new person. How is that? What's the transition like? Sort of for them, or like how did that happen?
Yeah. Well, they really did not have. John had told them. John is the former owner. Had told them that, you know, months previously that he was looking to sell.
Okay.
But none of them really were convinced that he was serious about doing that and doing it like right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
just sort of, he's been having a bad day.
Well, no, I mean, I think they got used to him saying that for years because he was saying, people would come in and say, hey, when are you going to sell this place? He's like, make me an offer,
that kind of thing. Sure.
So I think they just weren't taking it seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when he said it again, and in what he thought was no doubt, undoubtedly a very serious way, they were like, yeah, right. Okay, sure. So it came as a surprise to everyone when he announced on the night beforehand, but the day I was going to take over, that he had sold the business and who was taking over. And, you know, I don't know me from anybody.
Right.
So I'm sure it was quite a shock for all of them.
Right.
Probably more for them than it was for me.
Sure.
In fact, one person immediately submitted their resignation, but then rescinded it and then has since left.
Okay.
So, so I think it was an adjustment certainly for them. But one of the things, one of the pieces of advice that I thought was just fabulous that I got from the Bread Bakers Guild and from you was, you know, don't make too many changes too quickly.
Right.
Because the people who know the bakery as it is want their favorites to continue.
Yeah.
And the people who would love whatever you're bringing to it aren't going to know that you brought it there. And they're going to know this bakery as the place that has all those other things.
Yeah.
So while I was trying to put the brakes on that, I think that some of the changes that I made into like systems, not so much, you know, product.
Right.
Were also a little bit difficult for them to adjust to because they literally have never filled out a form.
Oh, okay.
Never signed it, done a, you know, a time keeping system or anything like that.
Right.
So just having some of the systems and having them be, electronic was a big change.
Sure.
For everybody.
Sure. So that's one of the things you did was sort of bring in like a point of sale and that kind of stuff?
He did have the square here, but he'd only had it for a year.
Oh, okay.
So for 20 years, I don't know, they had some other kind of cash register.
Right.
But, you know, they would write down their schedules and then they write down how much time, when they came, when they left, and then all of that was on paper.
Right.
The wholesale orders are still on paper. And
right.
I'm like, I can't.
I saw him kind of,
it's
all tacked
on there.
Up on the,
So they're in these little booklets that I consistently forget to bring home. So now for 2 months, I haven't billed any of my wholesale accounts.
Oh, yeah.
Because I live 35 minutes on a good day.
Right. That's right, too. Yeah.
So just popping over to get those is just not a possibility.
Yeah. Forgetting something at home is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And forgetting something at the bakery is just as bad. Yeah. And Mondays are the day that I do payroll.
Right.
And Mondays are the day that the bakery's not open. Right. So if I forget something or somebody's time is written down and in the cash register as opposed to a text to me,
they're out of luck because I don't have that. Yeah, so that would take the different systems are going to...
getting used to it.
Yeah, getting used to that. And have you... what kind... Have you started down the line of some product changes in that, or what's the...
Yeah, I mean, we haven't taken away any of the products, at least not permanently.
Sure,
there's some that might be cycled through because, they just... Cranberry stuff is better in the fall.
Summer. Now it's pumpkin spice season.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So those things are, expect those things to be seasonal. But I've introduced a brioche, Bostock, some German pastries, a German bread, pretzels.
Cool. Nice.
So I was just trying to find room in the production schedule by either reducing the number of times we offer a particular bread that used to be daily. So that we can kind of plug those into the production schedule without too much upset.
Well, that was part of, because I've seen through Instagram and stuff that, the pretzels look amazing. Like, all of the products look amazing, whether it's, a new thing or an old thing. And it all seems to fit, so it's not like, it's not like you've got something really strange sticking out beside everything else, right? So, How, we'll just hold off.
I loved how you kept it real on your road trip when you were all of a sudden, oh my gosh, you're a deer. I was driving when I was listening to that. I was just laughing.
Well, that never happened to me, but it was. They were across the road. And you can see them coming better, though, in Saskatchewan. A little, they come through the ditch, but...
Yeah,
if you're aware, you can see them. They're not coming out of the trees as much. We've had a couple of closer calls here.
Yeah.
Just because of all the forest,
But yeah.
There we go.
Oh, there it goes.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for making the lawnmower sound quiet.
Oh, that perspective, right?
That's good, yeah. So we were talking about, bringing new products on. And you were trying brioche and Bostocks and pretzels and that. And then you had mentioned, how to fit them into the production schedule. And that raised the question for me, how do they do the how are they doing their production schedule? Is that an easy thing to try and integrate into? Was it understood? Because I know at my place, fitting in a new product was something that many of the bakers felt was impossible, that they were already so busy. And so it kind of took Cindy or I to sit down and figure out and say, no, we can slot it in here and it'll work, right? Yeah.
Well, and the way I did it is that we sat down, what these products, if I take a look at what the product sales have been, they're not great on this day or we really don't have a whole lot of sales on this day. We need to do something that will get people to come in or something new. And try not to make it so onerous in terms of amount to be made, especially, you never know if something's going to fly out the door or anything.
Sure.
And unfortunately, what I'm finding is the things that are most labor intensive are the ones that people want a whole ton of, and I can't keep up.
Yeah.
So in terms of the bread, the differences in product and breads, those have been incorporated fairly easily by just having taken out one other thing that was being made that day and been pushing that in there. And once I showed them how I wanted the pretzels to be shaped, we're still having some issues with that. We have to do a little more practice with that. And we have a new baker, so of course any of that is gonna take a little time. So it was basically, I'm gonna take this chunk out. And I'm going to put this chunk in, and I think we can do it. And they've been great. They've enjoyed having that new thing to fool around with and see how it works.
Yep.
And recently, I didn't even actually ask them to put some Bialys on the menu, but I had snuck sort of snuck the recipe and method into the book. And so my head baker saw it, and I guess he thought that must have either that was my way of saying, hey, I'd like to see this on there, or he thought, well, these look interesting.
Sure.
So they kind of just ran with it. I said, you know, this is the typical what it looks like and what you put in it. you know, have at it. So they did, and they decided that they were going to make them into pretzel bialys.
Okay.
And, you know, dip them in lye and then fill them with all manner of really cool stuff like jalapenos and cheese. And I'm like, I want one of those. And I didn't even get one because they were all gone before I got here. But so I think that they've enjoyed having that additional challenge, I guess, of just trying something new. And especially when they get that feedback from customers that, oh, wow, I really like this new thing.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
You see it on Facebook and they're like, there's people commenting and saying, oh my gosh, we have to go there and get these, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, the pastry stuff more often is what I'm doing then. I mean, if I want to introduce something that's pastry, then I just do it.
So you just make it and get it out there and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a real challenge getting at least one of my bakers to actually use the correct names because they're, you know, obviously German names and she doesn't speak German.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So she always makes up some funny name for whatever it is I brought in. So,
yeah.
You know, Bienenstich is now Birkenstock and things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, she's a scream.
So is that kind of your heritage, is the German side of things?
Yeah, I'm actually first generation America.
Oh, really?
American, yeah. My parents were both born and raised in Germany.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
So
you're bringing back the stuff from your memories kind of
right,
thing too,
right?
Yeah.
You know, women of my mother's generation were required in school to learn how to bake and cook.
Sure.
And as a result, she's a fabulous cook and baker. And I'm sure that's what sparked my interest in baking early on and cooking.
Yeah.
So when I would see all these beautiful things in her cookbooks or that she would make, I was like, wow, I really want to do something that pretty, you know, and that tastes that good and that people are like, this is wonderful. So, and I find that, at least around here where I grew up here in Akron, there really weren't any places where you could find, you know, a 3-layer tort that had cherries, chocolate, and whatever else.
Sure.
You know, it was a typical 2-layer American buttercream roasted cake.
Right.
And that never thrilled me. So I wanted something different.
Yeah.
So the closest we came, there was an Italian bakery that was here for many, many, many years. Akron was, had a neighborhood where my husband actually grew up, called North Hill, that was very, very Italian.
Right.
And so there was a great bakery that people used to love going to. And unfortunately, that went out of business a number of years ago because, you know, neighborhood changes and everything. So it didn't turn out to be in such a great location once the area changed.
Right.
So that's about, I think that was probably the closest ethnic bakery that I can recall growing up. My parents being German and my dad just loved German baked goods.
Sure.
You know, it was a way I could very much, I could really bring joy to him every time I would make something. And my mom, who is such a great baker, says she never liked it very much. So as soon as I started doing it, she was like, yeah, go ahead. I don't want to do it anymore. You go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, neat. Oh, that's really cool. Have your customers been receptive to this stuff?
Yeah, actually.
That's awesome.
And there are quite a few Germans that come in, although they've been, you know, sort of customers all along.
Right.
But, you know, I'll be passing by and I hear somebody speaking and I can tell that they have an accent or they're pronouncing something correctly.
That's good enough. Yeah.
And so I stop and talk to them and then I find out that they are indeed German. And so they're like, okay, so when are you going to have the Schmutzbrot? When are you going to introduce this? And then, okay, give me time.
There you go.
And it just
that's
needs a little
awesome.
Time.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. I was talking with a fella in Guelph last week and it was the same thing for him that, he's predominantly a bread shop. So, but it was, you know, some of the rye and stuff that mm-hmm. he was making, and you know, out of the woodwork, here's the entire Polish community descends on his place
because yeah.
word gets out, you know, and that yeah. that's, and it's so cool, you know, that it's a part of you coming in and the response. I love that.
Like yeah.
it's neat. It certainly means, or it sounds like that's going to build a wider product line for you though. Like if you're getting into torts,
yeah,
you know, everything yeah. from, you know, sourdough bread to torts is like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a lot.
That's a big range, yeah. But still it's, that's exciting.
It is exciting.
Know? Yeah.
Of course, having the ability to switch it up and provide more variety is what's fun for me.
Sure.
I think I would get quickly bored if I only ever made, you know, 10 breads and 10 pastries and, oh, here we go.
Just
again.
One sec. They'll just. So we were talking about, I think, sort of your German heritage and bringing in the new lineup into the shop. And you were talking about how that was a treat for your new customers, but other people are starting to discover you because of it now. Like word's getting out amongst the
right.
German community.
Right. Yeah, yeah. There's actually quite a lot of people of German descent in the area and in Cleveland. And, you know, I'll walk by a customer and I hear them speaking and I can hear their accent or they're pronouncing something correctly. So I know, okay, they must be German. And then we'll have a little discussion in German and they're, you know, they were like, well, we're so excited to hear that you're going to be bringing some German breads. When are you going to have the Schwarzbrot?
Yeah.
You know, when are you going to do this? And I'm like, you know, it'll take me a little time to get it there, but
right.
we're definitely going to bring it. So it's really cool that, you know, that if you build it, they will come kind of
right.
thing.
Yeah.
They, once they start to hear about the offerings of German breads and pastries that they're looking to come here. Cause there really isn't a whole lot in the area with that, you know, with German pastries and German bread.
Sure. Sure. Well, no, and it's cool because it brings, there's that sort of, memories of home from people. They've already got memories of this bakery that's already, you know, established and existed. Now they've got another connection there, and it's powerful stuff. Those connections with whether it's childhood memories or memories growing up and then associating them as memories of this place.
Right.
It's yeah. like, that's a powerful gift to give to people in a way, you know.
I think so.
That whole theme, you know, that whole theme that you talked right from the start about bringing joy. It's like that. That's a real true connection with some of the specialty products and that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking earlier about your staff and sort of the fact that it's a different experience having a veteran staff. In place when you came in and, you know, sort of here I am, I'm taking over, but you've got people that have been here and working here for 7, 8, 10 years.
Yeah.
And how's that from your perspective? Is it a confidence builder for you having the crew you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I learned tons from them, and the fact that, you know, they have been here for so long and they've seen, you know, they know what the customer's like. They've seen how the operations have run when things were all on paper. And they are just a font of knowledge that I'm very glad that I have access to. And I mean, that comes with its own challenges because, you know, things have always been done this way.
Right.
When you want to change how something is done, you might get a little bit of pushback.
Sure.
Or sometimes, you know, they'll know better whether or not that's going to work
sure.
out than I do. But they may be a little too reticent to say to me, to the boss, you know,
right.
Karina, that may not be such
yeah.
a good idea, and here's why.
Yep.
And I'm constantly trying to reassure them. Look, I want you to tell me that.
Yeah,
I
yeah, yeah, yeah.
swear, I uh-huh. want you to tell me. And when I'm doing something that is screwing you up, and you know, you tell me.
Yeah.
I want to know that because
yeah.
I don't know it until
sure.
you tell me.
Sure. No, that's an important thing. You know, the if you're confident enough to to buy a bakery, right, and get in here and say, I am going to do this, then right away, you can be the kindest person in the world, but you have to be, you're assertive. You have to be, in some way, you're assertive. And that was an issue I had a ton at my place I can come across as knowing exactly what I want, but often I'm also questioning myself at the same time I'm doing it, right? You know, and I'm looking for the back and forth.
Yeah.
And all I'm doing is scaring people to not speak up, right? And so that was a lot of work for me to
for sure. To do I know that. I'm doing that.
Because, to say like, no, we're this is group problem solving. Isn't this fun?
Did anybody ever answer yes?
Nope, not a one. I actually the worst one of the low points on that track was I had a young woman quit because of what she called the negative attitude that I was bringing. Everything's negative, and I had to. It's like, okay, you know, thank you for the feedback. And you're really quitting. Like, you're not just giving me feedback and now we can work through it. She goes, nope, it's too much. I got to quit. So, okay, fine. And so I got the crew together the next day and said, okay, we got to talk about this because like, I'm just troubleshooting the bread because we're all still learning. I'm still learning. And I find this learning to be fun, you know? So it's like, I'm inviting you to have fun with me in troubleshooting this. Right. And that's when I heard that, you know, a lot of people, don't find that near as much fun and this having fun with the boss, this whole thing about the boss, I could never get my head around that. You know, it's like, I was just like, yeah, there's that we're all in this together. We're all building this thing. And the only guarantee is you will get paid before me.
Right. You know,
it's like, so it's like, it's all in, you got all the advantage here. So,
right.
That intimidation about, coming to the boss with a problem or a tweak, especially if it was, you know, the boss's idea,
right,
it's a big thing. And that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to break that, I guess, you know, for folks like us anyways, like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you know, maybe if you've won the Coupe de Monde, you get to tell everybody what to do. But it's like for guys like me, like I'm trying to figure out, or you know, you're always learning, you're still learning the baking process. But it's got to be done with respect to your customer base and your hours and your facility and your market and so there's a lot of variables because. Above and beyond technically, how do I make the best baguette in the world or whatever? Right.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's, I found it to be a lot of fun, but it only works in a team environment. Like it's too much for one person. So the fact that you've got the veterans to lean on, and if you can create that spirit, that cooperation and that then you're set up for great things, you know.
Yeah. And you try to find people who find troubleshooting fun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's sort of like which also is like, you know, the world's worst interview question when you ask some, you know, they're sitting here and trying to prove that they're amazing and you should hire them. And you say, okay, tell me about stuff that didn't work and what did you do? And it's like, no, everything worked. It's like, no, come on. We all screw up. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I
screwed up four things this morning. Come on. Tell me something, you know, like,
it's a really good interview question. Yeah. I'm going to have to remember
that.
Yeah,
there you go. But that's, it's kind of, getting, letting everybody be vulnerable or creating that environment where people can be vulnerable and say, hey, this might not, you know, I don't think this is going to work and here's why, or, you know, get past the, well, we always did it this way, or this is the way in the book. And no, let's really get into it, you know?
Right. Right.
And that's great fun when it works for sure.
Right. I scare people because I'm a perfectionist.
Sure.
But I'm really hard on myself and mm-hmm. then they'll see me get upset with myself,
uh-huh.
whenever I screwed up and they're like, oh, I don't want any part of that.
Uh-huh.
No,
uh-huh.
I'm not going to admit to that.
Yep. Oh, exactly. Oh man, Karina.
I don't know. Is that a baker thing?
I think it is because, well, so I'm starting to think that self-doubt is just a human thing. But self-doubt, when you're putting everything you make in a display case for people to buy, that's now it's a baker thing, right? You know, I don't know that the painter or the potter, the ugly cups just don't go to the show, right? You know,
right,
but it's like,
right.
I'm making bread. I got to sell bread, you know, and what do you do? And I used to have, and then you've got sleep deprivation, right? Which never helps. And I used to get tired, and I used to have a big temper problem, and it, like every single time I was mad at myself, something that I did or an instruction I never gave.
Yes,
you know, at no time did anyone that ever worked with me, when I would say, hey, this is how it needs to get done, that they would do it the opposite.
Right.
Just to screw us up. Right. You know, it was like, oh, I forgot to mention it. And now I've got pulish all over the floor or something, you know, whatever.
Yes,
right.
Right.
And I would get so mad because it's like, you know, 3 a.m. and I'm mad, but I'm always mad at myself. And then I realized, like, you're just scaring the hell out of everybody. It's like, don't take yourself so seriously, you know, but it takes time. And it's like, you know, and what I found, the good news, you know, and there, the good news that I can share is that, over time, this crew can also be your best friends, you know, because we've on this trip have reconnected with so many people that used to work at the bakery and we're staying at their basement or staying in their apartment or whatever. And we're really good friends and it's held up.
Yeah.
So there's hope.
Yes, you're getting invited to all their weddings.
Yeah, exactly. We've been to like 3 weddings so far. But it's crazy, you know, because in the heat of it, I chalk it up to self-doubt and bad sleep patterns. So
and I think a little smattering of perfectionism, because when you're giving joy, you want to give the most and the best joy with each thing that you're producing for someone else.
Yeah.
And one of my bakers, she just comes and pats me on my shoulder and says, commercially acceptable.
Yeah.
You need to remember, acceptable.
Yeah. I had a guy, Giacomo, that we saw in Ottawa. He came up to me once. He says, I understand every day we're trying for 10 out of 10, but he says, 9 out of 10 is really good.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yep.
you know, you do the whole day's bake and you look at the rye, you know, and it's like, why is the rye bad out of this entire display case? It's like, what's up with the rye?
You know?
And he's going, you know, that's 9 out of 10, buddy. It's really good. Okay. So we all have our own thing, but
I read a quote that I think is amazing, and I can't remember now where I read it. Making bread is easy.
Yeah.
Making good bread is hard.
Yeah.
Making good bread consistently every day is damn near impossible.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, and I think when I talked to Martin Phillip, it was, we talked about that a little bit, about how, you know, sometimes we kind of got to get over ourselves a little bit, right? Cause we're, you know, and I don't know, as much as I love Instagram and I've met so many people from it, and there are people that put the really ugly stuff on and we share the joke. If you've got that pose shot in your head about every single product that you're putting out every single day, you'll make yourself crazy as well. Right. Cause the variation is part of the uniqueness of what we're doing.
Right. That's why it's artisan.
Yeah. And the place that I was at in Guelph last week, he has all his bread out that people can pick their loaf. Cause he said, like, look, you know, I just came to realize that some people, no matter what you tell them, like the light bake, so let them pick the lightest one. And some that like the dark bake, let them pick the darkest one, you know? I don't want to belabor it, but with the backyard bakery now, I talk to every customer coming in, right?
Right,
so I get to visit with them all. And I stopped apologizing for what I saw as the ugly ones after, you know, the 30th person. So I do not see the difference between this and that. I don't know what, like, why is this one bad? Like, you know, whatever, right? You forget we don't see this. It's like, oh, okay, thank you. You know,
right.
So I keep it to myself and then try again next week.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what you have to do.
For sure. So, before we go, I want to ask you again, before the train screwed me up, just sort of that one, that sort of the biggest surprise that you had so far? Because I think it's really helpful for folks that are starting their new thing.
Well, two biggest surprises. Yeah. One was that, you know, despite the fact that so many of the people here are younger than me by a couple of decades, you know, I just assumed that, you know, they'd be thrilled to death that the new systems were all going to be electronic and they had an app on their phone and they could check this and that. And sometimes they're not all that happy about that.
Yeah.
Or it's just taken them quite some time to get used to it. The other real surprise was just how much paperwork
was
necessary to get up and running and to continue running and you know, meet all your tax and other
tax
obligations.
And health and level of government and payroll and all that. Yeah, no, for sure. It's overwhelming. I think the, you know, the fact that you're a systems type person means, I'm willing to bet year two is going to go pretty smooth compared to year one. Once you get all this stuff grooved,
because
you'll be like, you know, you'll be dinging on your phone. It's like, you know, tax payment due. You know, ching.
Yeah.
There you go.
Press the button. Boom. Yep. Done. I'm hoping.
I found with my bank that I was doing everything online, and the fact that we had a lot of cash meant, okay, I've got to go to the bank once a week, and that was my worst hour of the week because, you know, nobody has tellers anymore, so you're in line forever to buy quarters and to deposit cash.
Yeah.
But I made darn sure that was the only thing I ever had to go into the branch to do. And it was like, and same, you know, every online, the governments are in Canada anyways, there's finally there where it's like, I can pay workers' comp online and GST online and that. And it's like, thank God. So, you know, because, you know, and I could even schedule them. So I got to that sort of first in the month.
Yeah.
It's like, here's everything I owe or you know, maybe the ninth by the time I had all the info, but, and then just schedule them all. And,
thank goodness. Right.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
For sure.
But cool. No, that's awesome. And, you know, I guess, well, maybe with the digitizing everything for your crew, it's like, maybe there is that thing that says, well, if you've been here 7 years, you're in that, you're in a happy place. And sort of, how much change can I take? You know, there's a reason that I like it. So
that's right.
Yeah, give them time. Yeah. They'll come. They'll come around. So, I guess a couple questions, maybe. Advice for aspiring bakery owners, you know, because there's lots of folks that listen to the show and the feedback I'm getting, and certainly, you know, through the guild as well, that are like serious bakers, are really into it. They're ready to take the leap, but they haven't yet. So if you could give them a piece of advice from your startup journey, what would you give?
I would say definitely hire an attorney. Okay. I'm an attorney and I hired an attorney.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the kind of attorney who did, you know, business acquisitions and mergers and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I would recommend that people spend the money. It's going to be worth it in the long run. Get a good accountant.
Yeah.
Talk with them about your plans. Get their input on your business plan, have them review it, and stage.
Yeah.
As many places that will let you.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have any experience working in a commercial bakery. If I had to do it over again, I would have staged more places. I would have done
gone
something like, you know, like the Nomad Baker did, but, because you really have to know, can you physically handle the stress of being on your feet that long, and, you know, lifting 50-pound bags of flour, and, you know, are you good at, you know, drilling holes in your to get the calcification deposits out of your steam tubes, things like that that you're going to be doing, because you don't want to hire somebody to do all of that stuff because
you're just paying
money right and left
for sure. Well, and that's true. And it's like every time something goes wrong at a place that you're visiting, you get to learn, and you didn't have to pay for it. Right.
Right.
I read that somewhere, and it didn't sound as mean as the way I said it, but it's true. You know, it's like, if you go and that happens to be a bad day and their oven is acting up, at least you get to learn what to look for a little bit, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
How to deal with it when it does happen to you, because it will happen to you.
Yeah. Well, and I can second all of those tips for sure. You know, from real experience, especially with the attorney side, you said expertise in mergers and acquisitions, and I would add expertise in real estate and leases.
Yes.
I didn't. Like, I had a lawyer look at my lease, but not someone that looked at a lot of leases and sort of how do you stack things up a little more even in your favor.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little more 50-50 than that. And help, because during the negotiations, many things get promised that get forgotten about later, right?
And they're not in the lease.
I still don't think it's intentional, but it's like it happens, yeah. You know, because they want you to sign, and if it doesn't get in the lease, it didn't exist. And so, yeah, for sure. And even like an accountant that works with small businesses, food service businesses,
right?
You know, the one that's awesome at working with the community association maybe isn't the best help in this, you know, like getting right. That kind of thing. Yeah. Cause otherwise you're figuring it out a lot for yourself. Anyone you can lean on is good. And that's why I'm such a fan of the guild, right? Like,
right. I mean, you want to go into it with your eyes wide open.
Yeah.
Because no matter how well you plan,
yep,
there's still going to be surprises. There's still going to be things that you didn't think of and that you didn't realize were going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
And that you might have been able to, if not avoid or, you know, plan for, you would at least were, your eyes were open that that's a possibility down the road.
Oh, yeah. Because because guaranteed it is going to be harder than you think. The plan's going to be way rosier than reality. Like, it's, you know, all of those tough things are going to happen. So, the more you can do to have people to help you through that first year or so is huge.
Or just to plan
so
that, you know, it's better to spend $10,000 on experts who then will be honest with you and say, you know what, this location, what your plan is, it's just not, we don't see it financially working out.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, borrowing $500,000 to build your bakery from a white box only to find out, you know, they were right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's
yeah.
not a good place.
No, for sure. For sure. So, well, that's great. Yeah, good advice for folks, for sure, I think. And whether I'll throw out there, you know, as well, visiting as many bakeries as you can and just meeting as many bakers as you can. That's why I'm such a promoter of the guild.
Right, right. Yeah.
I am not pressing pause here, but I am going to wait and I'm going to ask one more question. This episode is brought to you by B&O Railroad. With all of your shipping needs, come to B&O.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I knew it was going to happen too.
Oh yeah.
Like, I'm going to wrap it up.
Yep. But be right at the end. Yeah, when I would go on vacation, you know, all of my, like, if I were my friends or my family or whatever, it's like, no, I have to stop in this bakery.
Yeah.
And they're like, not again. Yeah. It wasn't just stopping in. I'd have to talk to the owner, and it might be 2 or 3 hours later.
We drove up to Edmonton. It was like 8 hours away just to visit after closing hours with a woman I had met that's a very small bakery owner. And then she sold her place soon afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And I went back again and did a night shift at the new place, after he'd been open a few months.
And
I did a couple overnight shifts, just like, I'm out visiting and we got to know each other and said, do you mind if I just come in at midnight and watch this? Right. And picked up just a lot of tips. It's like, what would you do differently? Or what's that piece of equipment that, you thought was good and realized it wasn't that good, you know, or
exactly.
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like for me, you know, walk-in refrigeration, I am now a very strong amateur fixer of those because of the way mine screwed up so much.
But, yeah.
You know, that's just the way it was. But so cool. Well, so thank you for this. I got one last question. You mentioned it a couple times. Tell what was your band?
Well, it was actually called something many iterations. When I first started with the core people that made up the band's generally throughout the years. It was called Madhouse, and I was 17.
Oh my gosh.
Still in high school. In fact, they still love to joke that I wasn't allowed to drive to rehearsal or to any of the gigs, which is true.
Yeah.
So we were Madhouse for, I don't know, probably, I mean, they had been Madhouse for years and years before that. And they were all older than me, obviously. Who else has a 17-year-old band? But, and then we were Accent, and then we were Rhythm Method.
There you go.
V-Taxant for a short period of time, which was a very strange name. And then back to Rhythm Method, I think. So,
And sort of just playing around here?
Well, Madhouse was mostly a wedding and party band.
There you go.
For many years. And then when we were Accent, we started playing out at bars and things like that.
There you go.
And that was fun, but also rough, because back then people could smoke in bars.
Oh, and
That was terrible,
for
terrible
sure.
for your voice. But
for sure. And you were the singer.
I was one of the singers. Yeah, I was for a while. I was the only female singer when it was Madhouse. But then as we got, into more electronically assisted music, we had more and more singers, and that was fun though.
Yeah,
it was fun doing backup singing and
all
stuff
right.
like that.
So so Karina Gaffney. Singer, lawyer, pastry baker, bakery owner. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For taking the time. thanks for talking with me. It's been great to see you after all the emails back and forth over the years.
Great to finally meet you.
Yeah. And I just absolutely love your place and what's here and what you're continuing to build. So
awesome.
Congratulations.
I love it too.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Best wishes for sure.
Thank you very much.
Right on. Thanks.
And that was Karina. We did it. That was the easiest conversation and the most difficult recording that I've ever done. And I want to talk about it a bit at the end rather than at the beginning, because, I think the struggles with this recording and the struggles with the conversation really underscores the joy topic that she started the conversation with and that I started the podcast today with. Because every day when we're out baking, we are trying to make the best products in the world. We are. We're trying to be fast and we're trying to be profitable. But first and foremost, we're trying to make something that's beautiful and nutritious and delicious and appealing to look at. Every single day, every single product, every single day, we're shooting for perfection. And we're not doing that to feed our own egos. We're doing that because we want our customers, our friends, to have the very, very best when they come and see us. It's just like Karina said, it is giving that joy to our customers that gets us up in the morning. And the reality is that every day we don't make the world's best product, or we might make one just dead on and the next batch coming out of the oven isn't exactly perfect, or something might fail altogether. And then what are you going to do? And Karina mentioned the phrase, commercially acceptable or however you want to put it. But every time we have something that we're not satisfied with as bakers or even as podcast hosts, we have the choice to hold it back from everybody and not offer it up, or to share it anyways and to say, this is the best we've got. There is joy in this. There is value in this. Please take this and eat it. Or in the case of the podcast, take this and listen to it. And so I thought long and hard about this one today, and I said, finally at the end, I said, with all the train noise, I can get all that stuff out to the point where I'm not grabbing my ears when the train horn honks. I'm not going to hurt anybody's hearing if they're listening to this with headphones, but it is not the most intimate recording that I've ever done, for sure. And yet, there's some gold in here, and I really think that the world would be worse off if Karina's story didn't get to be told at all. And the stories that she shares and the tips that she shares and the joy that she shares on the call, and you can really sense it as like the excitement that she has about being a new bakery owner. That's beautiful. And even with some of the honks and whistles and engines in the background, I think it really comes across. And that's what I'm trying to capture every week, that excitement and that joy and the happiness that we all get from being in the position that we get because we get to make really good stuff for people every day. So if you're disappointed with the sound this week, please know that I sure am too, but the trade-off was made that it's better off putting up a slightly noisy recording with gold in it than just holding it all back. That being said, I'm giving it another swing next week. Just like you guys get to bake more bread tomorrow if it didn't turn out today, I'm going to have another conversation tomorrow, quite literally, and we're going to give it another swing. So have a great week. I am so thrilled that you listen to this show and that you enjoy the chats that we're having. And happy baking this week, and please take some time to consider the joy that you're sharing in the world, because I know that you are, and please feel good about that. Have a great week, and happy baking.